Hello and welcome to the Naked Tech Podcast. We're here to strip down the latest trends and innovations happening in the world of technology. I'm your friend Jeff Kim.
And my name is Calvin Lee, and it's great to be back.
Back after 2 years, baby.
I know. So how do we make it up to the people? What's our explanation here? How have we not posted anything since God knows when? What, October 2021?
We were on a break. You had a second child?
That's no excuse. He's like four. I think I can stop using him as an excuse now. COVID happened, travel happened, life happened. But I think the most important thing is we're back. And I've got good news.
Good tech news, perhaps. We're number 19 with a bullet on the indie tech news charts, Kelvin.
I think it's worth talking about. So it says here. So we got an email a couple of weeks ago that we're 19th on the Good Pod's top 39 tech news podcast show.
Indie,
very specific. Have you heard of any of these shows? I'm going to quickly sort of look at the top 10 or so, like NFT and Chill. I think that is the first podcast on the list loses its credibility a little bit. Like NFT is not a thing anymore, right?
Ooh, it's been a bit dry for them lately, I gotta say.
I'm looking through it now. The official Libsyn podcast. Good to see they're still around.
Good old Libsyn. I wouldn't know after this recording how to upload the recording. Are we still using Libsyn, Kelvin?
We're an anchor. It's fine. We're an anchor.
Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you, Spotify. Please don't fire us.
I do like number 13, In Touch with iOS, even though I don't know what that is. I just like the name of it. Apple Insider podcast.
Oh yeah, that's not indie. Surely that's not indie. Isn't that a whole website?
I'm just glad that, you know, they didn't lose to us, because that would be embarrassing. And we're just right below What's Next with Tiffany Bova. So let's quickly look who's below us, because that's pretty sad, considering we haven't posted anything.
I see Neo there. Who's that Neo behind the Matrix?
Leon LeGray podcast. He does a weekly tech show. How is he not above
us? Does it tell you 2 months ago? So, you know, he's not doing it, punching it out every week either.
Yeah, but what about the All Things Audio, a weekly podcast, last episode, 18 days, so not very weekly, live on Twitter Spaces.
I mean, Kelvin, I wouldn't be dunking too hard on these guys, our situation.
It's funny we said that. I met another podcaster. I'm not going to name names. He spent a lot of money on the studio. It's just nuts the kind of money people are putting into their setups these days. Like, I'm talking buy a new Tesla type of money. Yeah. And here we are. I'm still using my Blue Yeti mic from, oh god, how long has it been since episode one? Let's have a look.
16.
Let's have a look, 15, shall we?
Maybe.
I'm glad the website still works. Yeah, so almost 10 years now that this will hate. I'm exaggerating. Glad to be back. We're going to start off easy, I think. And we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about a browser that you recommended to me called the Arc browser. And we're going to talk about a couple of Mac things today, only because I'm on my third Intel i7 MacBook Pro because it stopped charging for some reason, so work swapped it out for a new one. And since I had to install all these new apps again, which is super annoying, I thought we'd just go through some of the apps that you and I use daily, and we'll ease our way back into this.
I think we can almost treat this as our beta episode, because we're going to be a little bit rusty, I think, just to get this started again. It's taken a good month or so, I feel like. if we count last year's efforts, that's probably like a whole year. But yes, we have all different equipment. You've got a new Mac. I've got a M2 MacBook Air 15-inch, which I'm quite loving.
Should we start off with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do a quick chat into, because you texted me a couple of months ago after the announcement, and then we were talking about whether you should get this one or the M1 MacBook Pro.
I mean, that seemed to be the narrative at the time, like, yeah. Because that is still a pretty, you know, beast of a machine. I think what I wanted, though, was portability, but bit more grunt to actually record the podcast. I know that we struggled a little bit with our setup, or with my setup, just before we turned the red button. We are on Twitch as well as YouTube, I think you will be uploading too. So yeah, just putting it through the paces, but yeah, so far so good. I've had it for over a month. I've traveled with it. I've, you know, worked from cafes. Yeah, like all the AI stuff. And I'll talk about it a bit later. Rather than Mac apps, I think I've been playing more with web apps.
And it super
ties into the Arc browser discussion. So yeah, I mean, no complaints so far.
You've got the base 15 inch M2 MacBook Air model, or did you get the SSD upgrade?
I got the 256. Everything's in the cloud. Okay. So is that the base? It is, right?
And it is the base.
And I'm just trying to think of the color. I don't know if it can show. Oh, yeah, the blue one. It is the blue one.
The blue one.
Oh, the midnight blue.
Midnight. Yes. So is it a fingerprint magnet or not? Like, I think that was the one concern that people had.
It is, but like, you just gotta clean it every now and then. I actually got myself a cover, which don't have it next to me as well. That may limit some of the fingerprinting, and you know, if you're out and about, like, it definitely shows. But you know what? I care about my own thing. I mean, on the keyboard and the actual panel, keyboard panel, there's fingerprints everywhere. I guess I'm like eating as well at the same time. you can't help that, right?
No.
What laptop can help with that?
Yeah, and I'm just quickly going through the website now. So it's got, does it have four USB-C or two?
Two on the left. No, just the two. So I've got my microphone hooked up to a USB-C to USB-A hub, which I think you recommended a few years ago.
Yes.
That still works. I've got the lighting set up here. The camera, if this looks great for the podcast listeners, audio listeners, you can't tell, but like, I'm using I forgot the feature of Mac OS, iOS, but
was it called Spotlight? Continuum? Spotlight? What is it called?
Continuity.
Continuity. That's right.
I'm using the iPhone 15 Pro, the back camera, the good camera.
And I gotta say, you look great.
Yeah, and it's wireless. It's not connected at all. It's just.
So, is your phone charged into a brick? Is it charging?
I've got a little stand.
It's charging. I'm using MagSafe. Yeah. Got it. Not amazing stuff. So, what should we kick off for? Should we kick off with the Arc browser?
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't have much to contribute in the Mac app situation, but the Arc browser is a Mac app itself, only for Macs, not for Windows just yet.
Yeah, so it says here on the website, it's coming to Windows winter 2023, which is our summer. So hopefully in the next couple of months, you would think.
There's only a few days left in 2023 and it's winter, so you got to think it's going to be this month. If it says that now, I've been really enjoying the updates. They're great at comms. The CEO is a guy called Josh Miller. Back in 2019, I forget his partner's name, but they started the browser company out of New York. And since then, like, they've been sort of the rock stars of the industry over there in New York. And great looking website. They take a lot of user feedback, which we can go through. Have you been able to use it then?
Yeah, so I had a new old MacBook Pro come in, and I thought I'd switch things up a little bit, aside from the usual Chrome, Brave, Safari, Firefox type gig. And I installed it. And I didn't want to install anything else, just so that I couldn't fall back on something if I felt uncomfortable. So I went all in, and a couple of things stood out to me. The first sort of UI thing that really stood out was there was very little sort of dependence on the URL. Like, your typical browser has that URL sort of space where you put things in, and everything's moved to the side, I think, because we're all on widescreens now. So I think you can afford to have the menu that typically sits on the top of your tabs and everything go to the side, which I love. I tried doing that with Chrome and Firefox using, you know, built-in plugins and things like that, but it never really did it well. And I like the way the Arc browser focuses everything to the left. So it really gives you more real estate for your main sort of browser page to take notice. And I love it how if you do the Apple key T, it starts sort of a tab or a little search bar comes up and you can search through your bookmarks or type in your URLs and remember stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think shifting away from the I have to type in a URL or click on a thing really focuses the UI a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if it's for everyone though. Like, definitely for, not for my mum.
Yeah.
Using the mum test, the famous mum test. But yeah, I think if you're a power user of Chrome, and this actually runs on Chromium, so I couldn't tell you the specifics of the performance. I mean, it's been running pretty well on my Mac, the MacBook Air M2. Yeah, but yes, there is a little bit of a learning curve in that the tabs, I don't know, what are they called? They probably give them a name for or label, but they sort of stick to the left, and you can see the you can rename them, you can give them emojis. Yeah,
and then I think the customizable sort of angle for this browser is huge, right? Like, you can actually take a palette and change the color of the whole background. The other thing to really note is, I think every browser does this, but it has profiles. I think it calls it spaces, and these little dots at the bottom where you can click and go, hey, if I'm doing play, it's going to be bright orange. If it's going to be work, you know, it's going to be serious black or something. But you could keep all your, you know, your YouTube and your podcasts and the things that you do while you're not working, leave it in the background while you focus on work. The other thing that I really like, and it forces you to change it up a little bit, is the split view in the browser. So you can view two web pages at the same time. The reason why it took me a long time to get used to that was because we basically work in browsers, right? Whether you're using Jira, Confluence, whatever. I used to put windows side by side, right? So I could look at something and write in something. And you can move windows around, things like that. So this really helps you focus into the thing that you're doing, and you don't get, you know, Outlook and pop up and things like that. So you can sort of focus a little bit better.
Yep, I'm quite loving the spaces, and they use a lot of, or utilize a lot of shortcuts, keyboard shortcuts, which I think I'm pretty used to now. So for spaces, you sort of use the control key and the numbered space. So like this, think of a space as a new desktop, if you will, like on a desktop. So the whole thing kind of shifts, and within a space, you can customize it with background colors. To be fair, the background colors is not a massive difference, but I think it's subtle enough that you sort of get a different feeling. Like for my in a similar way, how you can customize your homepage on your phone, you know, like certain colors, just, you know, I famously color code my apps, but it just happens that a lot of the comms type apps are green, right? So like all my web, WhatsApp, Messenger, that's in a green space. And I'd love to be able to, you know, share my screen, but we haven't worked out how to do that over Skype.
You know what's really funny you say that? Yeah. I think it does take a lot of phone UI thinking into this. For example, right below the URL sort of space, there is four sort of quick shortcuts to your most accessed websites for that space. So, you know, typically other browsers, you have the same bookmark bar for every profile you set up. Whereas for Arc, you have different sort of bookmarks for each space. I've heard of complaints in terms of how you should, how to back up these bookmarks. And there's, because they're so, it's so complex in the way it splits it up, people have taken the JSON out and converted it to HTML to try and save their URLs and stuff. But it does change the way you think. So it's always top four apps first, your bookmarks, and then everything else. So, if you find or discover new websites you want to access all the time, you put it into your bookmark, and then if you access it even more, it should definitely go into that shortcut.
So when you say bookmark, though, that's just the tabs, right?
Yeah, so you can actually move it up, and then when you click on a bookmark, it actually sticks out.
Hang on a minute. What do you mean bookmark?
So you look at this screenshot I'm showing right now. You see these home and these folders.
Oh, okay. I see them as Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I can talk a little bit about how my setup is and maybe something most optimal. But so let me just go into my space. I've got and they're just all emojis. So I've got a socials space. So that's for all my chat stuff. Unbelievably. A lot of different chats. I've got WhatsApp, Discord, Messenger, Instagram chat, LinkedIn chat. That's it. There's probably a couple others on my phone as well. But then beyond that, I also do a lot of like music logging, running logging on Strava. So I've separate, I guess, bookmarked folders for those in the same socials one. I don't know. I've been doing a little bit of travel the last month or so. So I've decided a travel bookmark folder as well under that, which has, you know, my Qantas stuff. So yes, you're right. I think that is, can be viewed as bookmarking in a way. But the other thing about the tabbing or tabs and bookmarking is that when you first create a tab, it's not permanent. So it's under the new tab section, which means, and you can set this up, but usually I believe it's 12 hours. After 12 hours, that tab will disappear if you don't save them up on the higher part of that space.
Yeah, so I think there is a focus element here where, you know, and then when you open, you know, typically when you open your Chrome browser, for example, all these tabs open up again. My other favorite feature is little arcs. So when I click on a link from Slack or email or something, it doesn't pop up the browser I was in. It just shows me the website. So I think that's amazing. I didn't realize what a game changer that is. So you click on an email, let's say it's to register for an event or whatever, you do what you need to do and then you close it and it goes away.
So wait, are you talking about the separate window that comes up or like a little frame that pops up?
Yeah, so typically when you click on a link, it just loads the most recent browser open up with all the hundreds of tabs you have open up, right? Mm-hmm. And it just keeps adding to all the number of tabs you have. Whereas with Arc, when you click on a link on an external application, it loads up just that website. It doesn't load that browser. So it almost takes that window out of the browser and it says, do you want to open this in, you know, back in Arc, or do you just want to view it in this single frame? Someone might have sent you something to review or a document or something. I just love that. Like, it doesn't just add it to all the browsers and tabs I have open. It just says, you are now in an email, you clicked on something, you obviously want to focus on this for a couple of minutes, here it is, and then you can add it back to your stream or just close it. I love that.
Now Kelvin, I don't know if you tried this feature, but they did announce, I forgot the code name for the update, but there was a big update. It was AI focused, obviously. And if you hover over a link now, you get a little preview of, and does an AI summary of the next tab as well. So I'm not sure if that's going to show up. And that to me is a game changer. I don't think they'll keep it free for long because any of that, every time I hover over a link, that's probably costing them money. There's a few AI features that I love. Now the alt tab, sorry, the command T new tab bar, little command bar. You could do a Google search in there, but like they give you an option to do a direct search in ChatGPT as well.
So I think that's the other interesting thing. So I'm just looking at the update now. For example, there's GPT search. There's going to be all these different things that are coming. And you're right? Where does the monetization come in? So I think people underestimate how much money Google, Apple, Microsoft put into browsers. Like, it's a lot of work. And if Arc wants to do something different, they're going to have to make bank somehow. So. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Let's see what sort of model works.
Yeah, and you got him on the screen now, Josh Miller. He's very open. He's probably the most open CEO out there. I'm sure there are other examples like him, but he's very visible. He talks about the process. He talks about the dilemmas the company goes through on a daily basis, weekly basis. They do weekly updates. So every Fridays, so that's Friday nights, New York time, maybe actually it might be Thursday nights because it's Friday morning, Sydney time. And they'll do a big YouTube video about that with small updates. They call them layups. So and they call out individual developers that are working all around the world. So I think there was one from Germany that he shouted out to in the last update. But yes, yeah. just on the other AI feature that I really love is when you do a control F on a page, Kelvin, you know, it's just basically a text search. Guess what it does now? It's an AI search now. So you could ask questions about what, like if it's a news article, you're like having a conversation with that article. You can, you know, ask a certain, like, where is the paragraph that mentions X, and it'll find that. From a conceptual point of view, not just the exact word match.
Yeah, and yeah, I look forward to see where they're at in a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll come back to this because they look like they're responding to the feedback that they get on X and Reddit and things like that. So I think that's really good, sort of, you know, listening to the customer type story that I love to watch. And I'm still a bit concerned about how they monetize. If they do monetize and who backs this, maybe we should do a bit more research for next time. But no, loving the way when someone shakes things up a little bit, and it'd be interesting to see how Firefox or Opera or Google sort of catch up and introduce.
Well, they're going to copyright. That's the other big concern. I think we've seen the other browsers introduce some of these features. It's like you know, like we're all so used to the whole browser web approach, but they're just like turning everything on its head. Let's just you know, think of the users first, think of the use cases and see how that shakes out. So sure that they're doing this on the Mac first, and you know, that's their right to do that. But, you know, they can only do so much, at this pace. You know, they're doing it weekly. Correct.
And it's funny, you know, and I just thought of something. I've been doing a lot of cycling, as you can see in my background recently, and I bought a smart trainer, and there's an interesting approach to one of the trainers. So I'm not sure if you know what Zwift is. So Zwift is basically this game you connect up to your trainer, and then it looks like, you know, you can ride with your friends and it shows your pace. You can go to races. There is a new company that now has developed their own trainer software. And the way they monetize it is they test things. So they test new features and then they sell those features to the big players. So I'm wondering whether Arc can do the same thing. For example, they develop a new way of doing search or ChatGPT, and then they sell that or license that to the big boys, mm-hmm. and then they monetize that way. I don't know if anyone is going to pay for a browser. I just don't see that happening, right? People will just go back to Chrome.
Yeah, monetization, you know, method is a tough one. They do talk about it, so honestly, I haven't. Looked at every single video that Josh Miller puts out, but you know, they probably do talk about that a lot.
Yeah, so I think that's a lot in Arc for fans. They're on iOS, they're on Mac, they're not on Windows yet, not on Android. So I think it's going to be an exciting year for them in 2024. Let's move on. The other thing I wanted to cover was a couple of apps that I found myself struggling without. As I was, you know, navigating my new Mac. The first one I wanted to talk about, and I try to typically look for free or open source apps where, you know, they're light typically, you know, you can support some of these indie developers. And that's Itzycal. So Itzycal is a little sort of app for the main toolbar at the top. And when you click on it, you get to see your calendar. But more importantly, what I use it for is the dates and the days coming up. You can do that with that huge Apple drop down, that sort of that notification center that drops down when you click on the clock. But I just find that it just takes up, like, you know, 1/10 of your screen. It's so noisy. It's all these widgets that you can't move. So, you know, for me, Itzycal, you know, when I'm not looking at Outlook, when I'm not looking at anything else, and I'm on a call and someone says, hey, you know, we should meet on the 23rd or whatever it might be, I open Itzycal, quickly check in and go, yeah, sure, let's have a conversation there. I'll send you something. Super simple, but easy access to your calendar dates and things like that.
Free?
Free. Totally free.
And Gcal integration?
I believe it takes it straight from Apple Calendar that you sync. You can sync with your Gcal anyway. But I just love how simple it is, and it's just like a quick little sort of widget that sits on my main toolbar.
I mean, I might have to go back to the Arc discussion, but I don't think we mentioned it. But like one of the bookmark feature is that you could create big bookmarks or big tabs that span across all the spaces. So what I've got, I think 12 of them set up there. So we're talking about, I'm going to have to open my browser here. So I've got Gmail, and you can do a quick little hover, and it's almost like something that you might see, you know, on a menu bar of a Mac. So if I just do a quick hover, I can see the latest emails. I've done that with Google Calendar, and it tells me what's coming up. The view isn't as good as what you've got on the screen, but you know, if you want to see what's coming up in the next few hours anyway, you know, it'll do the little preview. So that somehow they've worked out how to integrate that API coming from Google, I guess, to give you that preview. Yeah.
And you know what's funny, you said that. I was reading up about Arc on Reddit, and a developer just said they're probably a couple of months away from just having their own operating system when you think about it. Like, it's such a complex sandbox or whatever you want to call the Arc browser. They've built it from scratch. Sure, they use Chromium, but is there anything to stop them from becoming a Chrome OS type thing?
I think one of the comments I made early on, right, Kelvin, was that it did feel like I was using Chrome OS.
Yeah,
I think that was the first thing I said when I started using this. So I mean, like, I'm all in on Arc, and it has become my OS in that I don't need to install any Mac apps anymore.
I think that's where we're going. Have you installed it on your iPhone? Like, does it sync up okay? And do you?
There was one problem with the sync up. They are re-architecting the iOS app. They have said. Now it's simply like what you've got on your desktop. You'll just get those, you know, bookmark links basically. But there was one instance when I was in Singapore when it didn't sync up properly. I'm not sure what that is. It did eventually sync up, but yeah, it wasn't 100%, I guess.
And you know what's really funny? You're more accepting of these bugs when you see the CEO of the company and its developers talking through it every, you know, weekly or monthly or whatever, however often the update is. And I don't know, that kind of works, right? I
think it's not even that. It's just entertaining to watch him. It's got this personality where it's like, hey guys, you know, like, we're doing this, and then we were in Amsterdam the other day, and
it definitely reminds me of my startup days and working with devs, and that's kind of, you know, the co-founder stepping and going, hey everybody. Anyway, let's keep moving. My second app that I cannot live without is called Shotter. So it is a screenshot app. It's spelled Shotter. The Mac, the default Mac preview tool where, you know, you do a
Shift Command 5, yeah,
is horrible, right? Like, there's not much you can do with it. There's a default sort of state to it. It's not very flexible. You can't really edit on the fly. So for me, I've replaced that entirely with Shotter. It is free, but you can also buy the premium version to get additional features. But the free version itself does a lot for me. A couple of things really stand out. So sure, anyone can do a screenshot, but it actually has a little bit of AI around it. For example, if I take a screenshot of this website, I can highlight text or an image and click delete, and it knows how to fill the background and remove that element.
Is that a free feature?
It's a free feature. Wow. So everything I'm talking about are things I do every day. I can also add text, and I add my angry arrows going, how could you miss this? Look at this screenshot, look at this UI, please fix this, da 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 da. So you can mark it up, your screenshots, you can overlay images. It does text recognition. So you can actually take a picture of something and put it into your documents. You can pixelate objects, you can remove objects. So the editor itself, I think, is the secret sauce for Shotter. And I can't live without it. I use it multiple times a day. I'll show a quick video if you're watching this on Twitch right now, but it just, you can zoom in, you can color things, you can unpixelate things, you can do everything. It's like an editor all in one. You can take away Photoshop after this if you're a light user like me, and you can just highlight different things and do so much.
It kind of reminds me, I mean, this is a lot better, but it does remind me of a thing that I used to use. It was called Snagit?
Yes, Snagit.
Snagit, little red arrows onto things, and so easy to just, you know, put it into clipboard and then paste it into email or even FigJam.
and it's like Snagit on steroids. You can even do like what it's showing on the demo now. You can do pixel like rulers, so you can show the spaces in between web pages, color. It just does so much, and it's all free. Like, I don't even know what you get in premium. I'm trying to go check it out now. Let's see what you get. You probably get something crazy. It is like, yeah, you get access to experimental features. So you basically get everything for free, but you're buying the dev a coffee, basically. So it's practically free.
And then we'll do all the documentation of the design system on the fly. No, that's great. I think if I can have a little go of my web app version of that, it's Fabric. So
yes,
I guess if you're like me and have migrated to like a web app Chromium experience, almost Chrome OS experience, using a single browser, in my case Arc, then I guess you're only doing screenshots from Arc. So if you have Fabric, then there is a built-in screenshot feature, which, to be fair, it's probably not as good as what you've just shown with Shutter. Mm. But you're going through our Fabric here.
I'm going through all our notes.
There's a lot of little audio clips that I've collected over the years. We'll go through them. Hopefully I'll have them ready to go for the next episode. It even takes screenshots if I've taken them on my phone, and you could connect it to your iOS. There might be a little sneaky way they do it, but you give full access to Fabric, and then it gets stored as a screenshot in your Fabric feed. It's fabric.so is the site. We try to use it as our note taking app, I suppose, but we found it a little bit buggy in terms of the sync up. This is another company that I'm really enjoying. I believe it's a one-man show for now. But using the free version, it's been quite good. Just collecting things in general. And
just so you know, people get a visual. So how is it different to Notion, for example? How do you find it different to Notion?
It's a very more simplified way of Notion. Notion just feels bloated. I've got too many things. I mean, it's great, right? Notion is great if you use it every day, if you're a power user, I think. But for me, Fabric just sort of like simplifies things a lot more. You can label things. It's not so bloated.
I think that's a great way of describing it. I think the whole relational database element of Notion just pushed so many people away from the product, and you get these competitors that just close the curtains and just show you what you can do with it rather than give you full access to everything. So I think that's really cool. My last two apps in terms of my essential Mac apps is called Rectangle. So simply said, it is a quick tool that allows you to quickly resize your windows into anything you want. So two apps, left half, right half, bottom half, top half, and it goes crazy. They give you shortcuts because Apple is just horrible with the way, even if you want to snap two windows together, it's just nothing like Windows. I don't know why they make it so difficult. So if you want to look at a Word document and a PowerPoint at the same time, and you want them to take up equal real estate or any sort of, you know, combination, you just do that, especially with, you know, the proliferation of wide screens, like my 32-inch screen. I just need something like that just snaps all these windows in place.
That doesn't help if you're just using the one app, though.
Yeah, no, that is probably the biggest friction point for me when it comes to using Arc, because it messes up the way you do that, right? But yeah, can't live without it. And I find it really helpful.
I'm out, so let's go to your last one.
Alt-Tab. So the way Mac, how do you even sort of explain how, if you're
Command
if you're
tab,
a,
yeah.
if you're a Windows user,
yeah.
Compared to a Mac user, the way you Alt-Tab is horrible in Apple. It just shows you, it doesn't show you the individual window, it just shows you the app that is open. So if I had four different Chrome windows open, when I Alt-Tab, the default state in Mac is it just shows me Chrome. it doesn't show me the four windows with it. So Alt-Tab just breaks that down back into what you expect from Windows, where it actually shows you everything. And I just go, why isn't this a thing in Apple? I know the whole minimalist thing is a thing with Apple, but you can't do that on top of what is actually more, you know, productive.
I feel like that's something that they'll do in a future OS update, though. But Alt-Tab, I think let me just give it a go on this Mac. It's a command tab, is it not? Yep, command tab. Yeah. Now going back to Arc, for me, I've just lost you here now. Doesn't matter. It's the control tab I found very useful because it does the same thing, but then, actually it is the same as Alt-Tab if you have different apps, but within the same app, which is Arc Browser, and you just want to go through the other tabs, there's a control tab. I don't know if you've
found
that
out,
but that's the version for Arc. If you're interested, that's pretty handy as well. So I'm getting used to all these keyboard shortcuts. I've never been a keyboard shortcut guy. I know a lot of our engineers, developer friends are all about keyboard shortcuts, but I'm on board now, guys.
Hey, you're sold. That's it, I think. That's all I have. Those are my four favorite apps, and hopefully Arc joins that, you know, top five list. We'll wait and see. But is there anything else you want to cover?
In terms of apps, no. I think that'll probably do for our first episode back. Obviously, we've missed a few things. What's happened in the last couple of years, Kelvin? Anything of note?
I don't know. We're still here. We're not AI yet. So I think, you know, we'll probably maybe do an episode on our favorite AI things, maybe.
Before we go there, do you have a P-Doom number?
I don't even know what the scale is for P-Doom.
It's just a percentage. 100% is like, we're definitely all going to die. Yeah.
Well, no, this is just fancy machine learning. It's 15.
Oh, it's 15. Well, that's 1.5 out of 10 chance, guys.
We're fine. We're not going to die. This is too much money in it. No one's going to die. I think that brings an end to our first episode back in a very long time. So let's see if I can still do this. Thanks for listening to episode 174 of the Naked Tech Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to listen to episodes back in way back, go to the website. That's thenakedtechpodcast.com. If you have any questions, you know, let us know. We'll try to get back on Instagram and X and everything. But see you next time.
Jeff out.
Kelv out. I forgot that was my... I forgot.